so. Hold on. All right, here we are again.
Welcome to Ignite.
Welcome to Ignite. This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 215, where we are live again.
Again, the second year in a row.
Yeah, recorded live September 26th, 2017. That's how we have to start the show, right?
Exactly. We can't break from a winning tradition.
There we go. You know, when we got the logo done, and we did the green, I wasn't really thinking about the live show, so I'm wondering if somebody's going to have fun with like a chroma color kind of thing and start really messing with us.
We're going to be like the weathermen with only our heads.
Like beaches and stuff like that. Maybe hurricanes, right?
Oh, no. Don't talk about the hurricane. Too soon.
Too soon. Yeah. Hey, trust me. Too soon. No. Last year, we did Ignite the first year, but we didn't do it as a live show. Last year, they had us on the live show.
Yep.
So this is our second year. We have shirts. So I think next year, we have to wear pants.
We're really stepping things up with the shirts, but pants are obviously the next logical step.
You don't want to see what's behind the box. Okay. Yeah, so are you enjoying the show so far, CJ?
I think I've peaked a little too early.
It's Tuesday morning.
I know, right? We've only had one day.
Yeah.
I'm already feeling pretty tired. My feet feel like they're about to fall off. I'm getting old and my back is aching, but so far so good, you know?
You want a pacifier? You're whining quite a bit.
Yeah,
there, right?
Exactly. No, it's been really good, actually. First day went really well. I've been spending a bunch of time on the expo floor, taking a stroll around and seeing. I find it really interesting who's there, who's not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know? You always got to see
who didn't make it.
Who's popped up, who hasn't made it. So it's been really nice, actually. Yeah.
Awesome.
How about yourself? What have you been up to?
Really doing a lot of stuff for the podcast. So we'll get into a little bit of what we've done so far and what our plans are for the rest of it. We've actually published two episodes. That's why I might look a little bit tired because I was up mixing shows all last night.
Yep. Yeah. Two great shows, though.
They're two great shows. They don't sound as good as our normal shows because our producer is over in Europe and he's not mixing them live. So that's back to me. So it feels like the quality of the beginning shows again.
Things are taking a downhill turn.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit. But hey, so I know we don't want to spend too much time on this, but you're here representing Hyperfish. That's why you spend a lot of time on the showroom floor.
Yep.
What's up with you? What's new with you?
We're launching a couple of things this week. So we've got Hyperfish Lite, which is our new free version of Hyperfish, which is free to go fix up all of your photos in your people directory, wherever that happens to be. And then the second announcement we're making is around what we call our integration framework, which is the ability to work against data wherever it happens to be. So might be in AD, might be in SharePoint, might be in your HR system, might be in some custom database. We have connectors to be able to go connect to that. So
awesome.
We're busy on the show floor talking with people, showing them through our new stuff, and generally getting the word out.
Yeah, I see a lot of buzz going around the Hyperfish booth there, so it's pretty cool. You're in a good spot, too, back there.
It's been really nice. But also, you had a kind of a big week.
Yeah, I had a bit of a big week.
What's been going on there?
You launched something, we launched something as well, or I guess I launched something. Well, really, I should say we, because my wife is really the one that really drives everything, or drives me, making sure that I'm going in the right direction. I launched my Mastering the SharePoint Framework developer course as a pre-release. About 20% of it's complete right now, but I did a special deal earlier this Tuesday where everybody kind of jumped in and they could take advantage of it early. So it was, tell you, running a launch is incredibly stressful. It's a lot of fun. I do not recommend doing it trying to get ready in the midst of a hurricane. But do as I say, don't do as I do.
Yeah, puck effect to 12.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you probably could have seen the stress from – well, you did see the stress, right?
I certainly did.
I thought I'd be fine after the storm and where my area got hurt real bad. And so I'm like, I'm going to record a few days after the storm. And then there's National Guard Black Hawk choppers, like rescuing people and dropping water off and stuff. I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work so much. So
please, internet, stay up.
Yeah, and it lost it for 12 hours. But, yeah, it was I think I talked about it on the show, right? I had the whole epiphany. I can actually expense a generator because I work from home. And when I had that epiphany, it was when I had no power.
And you didn't have a generator. Too late, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, well, congrats again on the launch.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. But, hey, let's jump onto the show here. So, first, we'd be remiss if we didn't give a call out to our sponsors here.
Absolutely.
The people that make this show actually possible for us. So, please, if you're at the conference, go head out to the expo floor. Go up to AvePoint, Nintex, ShareGate. Just tell them that you appreciate them sponsoring the show and making it possible for CJ and I to do this and to have things like you see here. We got shirts that we can actually give away. I know I put a picture up on Twitter last week and someone said, yeah, we've got hundreds of shirts people walking around with. Like, this is it. This is what we got, okay? We don't have that kind of budget.
That's right. Yeah.
But let them know, or on Twitter, let them know, at AvPoint, at Nintex, at ShareGate, let them know that you've heard about them on the podcast. That really helps them understand, because it's really hard to find out what kind of reach they have and what kind of benefit they get from their sponsorship. And trust me, we would really like for them to help us do it. So before we really start diving into the show and talking about Ignite, you and I kind of led up to this show with, well, we think it was a great idea, and it was a great idea, and problem was with, I guess, how a lot of the companies on the expo floor who aren't here anymore, they had great ideas as well that never materialized.
That's right.
So why don't you tell everybody like what we thought we were going to do, what we planned on doing,
yeah.
and how Irma kind of played a little bit of a role in that.
Yeah, so the idea behind this idea that we had, I guess, explaining a little further, was there was going to be a rocket launch this week, and it was going to happen on Thursday morning, and it was a National Reconnaissance Office payload, spy satellite. We're going to shoot it up into orbit, and we were going to go watch it. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that we were going to take two folks here to go watch that launch. Two things happened. One, it got postponed until sometime in October. Mm. And the second thing is, even if it did launch, it was going to be at 4:30 in the morning. So as much as I love you all, you won't love me at 4 o'clock in the morning, trust me.
And I don't think they would have shown up either.
So we have a fallback plan.
Yes.
And it basically involves us going and recording a show with two of our audience here who submit questions. We'll pick a couple of folks from the audience, and we're going to go for a drive around in AC's Tesla. And if you've never been for a burn in a Tesla before, it's quite a special experience. and plus, how much more special can it be cooped up in a car with us for a couple of hours? Right?
This way you're not cooped up in a car with us for about 2.5 hour round trip too, so it's a little bit better.
Yeah. And on the record, right?
and on the record,
we're gonna stick a couple of cameras in there, we're gonna go record a show.
Yep.
We'll talk about Ignite and some of the interesting announcements here, what you've seen that's been interesting going on in the Microsoft world and things, and we'll just shoot the breeze.
Yeah.
And hopefully not end up with our eyeballs in the back of our head.
No, that's my goal. You're going to do the interview. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to try and freak you guys out a little bit. So we'll stick a GoPro on the windshield. We'll have everybody mic'd up. But the goal is we're going to leave like 9 or 9:30 on Thursday morning. If you want to have a chance to be involved in it, what I would love for you to do is to tweet us a question today during the live show so that we can try and answer it towards the end of the show. Just make sure that when you tweet us the question, if you're here at Ignite and you have the ability to go to the show with us or to go to just drive around with us for a little bit, it's only going to be about an hour, then make sure you put the hashtag #ICanGo in the thing so that we don't pick a question, and they're like, yeah, I can't go. And so CJ and I are driving around, and we spend enough time together. We don't need to just the two of us keep talking to each other.
It's cool. I talk to you every week.
I know.
That's
exactly.
Enough.
Plenty. Yeah. Yeah, so just do that. We're going to keep an eye on Twitter and stuff to make sure that we can get any of those questions. So, all right. Let's dive into the show. 7 minutes in, what has been Ignite like, right? Well, first, I think it would be remiss not to mention the fact that there was an awesome article that came out. We think it's pretty awesome that it was the top developer podcasts that are out there. And there's a section about the top developer cloud podcasts that are out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's alphabetic or it's not alphabetic, but I am going to say that we are at the top of the list.
That's right. They are not numbered, let's be fair.
Well, I think they're numbered. Well,
naturally, by being at the top, it's numbered.
Oh, it works for me, exactly. Yeah. So
that
yeah.
was really nice to see, actually, and we didn't pay for that.
No, we didn't. Remember that. I didn't even know it was coming out. It came out during the keynote. That was an awesome timing.
Yeah, really nice. So we'll stick a link to the article in the show notes. You can go check it out. There's a bunch of great podcasts, actually. It's worth mentioning.
Yep.
There's a ton on cloud computing, containers, and Docker, and new stack stuff. So. Definitely worth checking out and adding to your list.
Yeah, they're great to listen to after you listen to our show. Absolutely fantastic shows.
But yeah, there's been a ton happening this week at Ignite, so why don't we dive into some of the news.
All right, it always starts with the keynote.
Exactly.
Right, so what did you think about the keynote?
Well, first up, I don't know what everybody else thought, but I thought it was kind of an odd setup, really. Like, yeah. I thought, so most Ignites and most Microsoft conferences, you have day one, you get the big, you know, Kool-Aid injections, straight mainlining it right in your arm there. And this year was a little different. They had Satya, who's obviously a great speaker, mm-hmm. but it was a short sort of one and a bit hour
yep.
keynote up front. And it was a little different from the typical sort of setup. You know, most of the time they have Satya's time, and then they have some other leaders from the company showing off what they've been up to in their respective areas.
Yep.
But this year they broke it up a little differently. They had him up front, and then there were sort of these sub-keynotes, if you want to call it that.
Product keynotes
yeah. or, you know, area of the company keynotes that really dived in. And so you had to pick and choose which one of those you went to, which I thought was a little strange. Like, I personally love the rah-rah Kool-Aid injection up front and then going into a bit more detail later on.
Yeah.
But I thought overall, you know, Satya's always great to listen to. I love listening to him.
Yep.
And I think he did a really good job.
Yeah, an author too now. He's got a book, his own book now too.
Yeah, exactly. Really cool. Actually, he was on CBS, whatever their morning show is.
Morning show, yeah, good morning.
Yep, talking about his book launch and sort of the refresh of Microsoft.
Yeah.
So it was great.
It was cool. I agree with you. I mean, I was a little, I don't really care too much for the format we have now that they did with this, where it was a, you know, you got that one-hour show that's kind of, a, you know, the cool news stuff that's great for, like, the nightly news kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so much, like, the real, like, it's not a big product release and stuff. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. But I did think, you know, they covered some cool stuff. They talked about that HoloLens. They showed a real example of the HoloLens with the Ford example. With having a cool collaboration and seeing the view on the mirrors and stuff. The one that was kind of, like, kind of blew your mind is the whole, like, quantum computing thing at the very end, which... I was warned ahead of time that it's like going, you want to brush up on your quantum computing. I'm like, oh yeah, on Sunday night, got it. I'll be all over that. But it was kind of like blowing your mind. And you know, I talked to some people afterwards. You and I talked about it a little bit this morning.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, so what was the real value in doing that? Where is that, you know, is that stuff that we're not going to be able to play with right now? But I think, you know, what was your take on that bit?
Well, I've got a fridge that goes down to like 0.1 Kelvin, so I should be fine putting mine in my kitchen. But no, I thought it was. Very interesting from the aspect of it's so far out and it's so forward thinking that really Satya is the only person that can go deliver that message, you know, because everybody else is talking about practical stuff that you can do today, bits you can download, services in Azure you can go use to build your applications and run your company, and then they come up with this like, holy smoke, what is that? Like, am I really here kind of moment?
Yeah.
And
which they actually kind of did with the device that they had. They actually went to unveil it, and it wasn't there, and it's like,
that,
it's not really there.
That looks something like they should have had Marty McFly come out and talk about that, because it was like a flux capacitor. That
it looks like a badass coffee machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really quite cool. Honestly, I didn't understand 98% of what they were talking about.
Oh, I didn't either. I was impressed, though.
But it was certainly shiny. Yeah.
I guess it was what my parents feel like when I tell them what I'm doing right now. So.
Yeah. What do I do for a job? I don't know. But you've got a job. That's good.
I think what's cool about it, though, is it shows that, you know, we look at some of the other competitors that are out there. You look at AWS, their public cloud, and the Google Cloud Platform. And in the last big keynote that the Google Cloud Platform did, they talked a lot about their super high-end, like AI and machine learning stuff, and their TensorFlow processing units, the TPUs that NVIDIA is doing. I think that this was kind of like we're on that leading edge as well. And while you may not play with this, or it may not be applicable to what everybody in the room is doing, or even 50% of the room is doing, and we don't really know what we're going to use it for,
mm-hmm.
but it opens up so many possibilities going forward, and it shows that, hey, Microsoft is on that leading edge. Last year, we saw the FPGAs during the keynote. Yep. This time, we see quantum computing. I'm looking forward to teleportation or the history machine next year, the way that machine going
I'm
back
looking
to the
forward
past.
To that, yeah, because the six-hour flight from Seattle was kind of painful, so I'd prefer if I could just and be here. So I thought one of the things that I think is interesting about this is Microsoft has done this stuff for a really long time.
Yeah.
They just haven't been very good at telling the world about it.
Yeah.
So the research teams at Microsoft have been one of the most heavily invested R&D areas of Microsoft from any company, in fact, for decades.
Mm.
And Microsoft have only really, like, truly made it shine publicly more recently. So I think they're doing a great job of that.
I agree. Yeah, the other thing they talked about too, which was, I mean, this is a pretty big deal. Like about this time last year, they bought LinkedIn.
Yep.
And then they started sharing what they're doing with LinkedIn and how the progress they're doing. I know there's been a lot of concern, you know, what about my data? Who owns my data and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I sat through a couple pre-briefings ahead of time to hear a little bit of that. I thought that they did, you know, I like the integration that we have so far,
mm-hmm.
That it's only public data that I've already made public is what's available and you can see outside. Of the organization, but I find it. I like the direction they're going with it. I like the way that, you know, the graph can take advantage of it. It doesn't go into the graph, but the graph can surface it for you and
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
I like all that kind of stuff that they're doing with
it. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of anticipation about how is this going to show up in Microsoft's products and how are they going to bring these things together.
Mm.
And I think they're making the right move, not freaking everybody out with a whole bunch of like, oh look, we're putting all of your personal information in your company directory and
right.
letting your company sift through it all and all that sort of stuff. They're still leaving the person or the owner of that data in control, which I think is super important.
Yep.
So that was really nice to see. Plus, it's been anticipated for quite some time, and so it's very timely that they're starting to show these things off.
Yep, I agree.
Really nice to see some progress there, and that their money is going to a good cause, or being well spent, I should say.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about kind of like navigating the conference. Let's spend a few minutes there. So, what do you think about, like, you know, have you spent much time walking around the expo floor so far?
It's, I mean, it's one of the first things I do when I come to these conferences.
Yeah, you're really good about this.
Yeah, I didn't go to the sort of the breakout keynotes.
Yeah.
We're an exhibitor, so I got entrance to the expo floor early, and so it was nice and empty, and I just went for a slow stroll around the expo floor to see what was going on, and made sure I hit every corner of it, like the little guys at the back, the big guys at the front, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it because you start seeing, I've been to a bunch of these, and you start seeing who's there every year,
mm-hmm.
and then who's new, mm. and it's always really interesting to see who shows up. That's either trying to start participating in the Microsoft ecosystem. So like the SUSE Linux guys are here, mm-hmm. for example.
Yep.
You wouldn't have seen that at a Microsoft show a few years ago, that's for sure.
2 years ago, probably, yeah.
Yep, exactly. You know, Docker are here, Mesosphere are here, or, you know, there's a bunch of partners or vendors that are showing their wares that are just not typical Microsoft partners.
Yep.
From a few years back, and I love seeing that. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And go talk to them, see what their wares are about, and a lot of them are trying to get involved in the Microsoft Cloud ecosystem around Office 365, especially. So I thought a few really popped out, but I definitely recommend just going and spending some time walking the floor and seeing who's here.
Getting accustomed to who can scan your badge most, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who can fill my inbox the most up next week?
So trick for young players is when you register, don't put your real email address in. You put a little sort of temporary email address in there.
Yeah.
So you get all that and you can sift through it and see which ones you want to reply to.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, the other thing, I thought navigating the conference, I mean, this is like Ignite last year, like Ignite the year before. It is a massive amount of people, 25,000 people, right?
Yep.
And I know I've heard some people complain a little bit about, you know, getting around and stuff like that. Generally speaking, they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, I think I'm a little confused on how the sessions are laid out.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked to have seen, like, say, the Windows or the IT and the Exchange-y kind of stuff all in, like, one, like West or in North South, and then seeing more of because there's now, the stat was 46% of the people here identify as developers. So it used to be just an IT pro show. It really is also seen as a lot of devs. So put a lot of maybe it's the Office 365 stuff is in one section. Maybe it's core .NET stuff in one section. Maybe it's core this other stuff. And I think that to me, if you really, I think that people are gonna be more self-selective on the kind of content that they're looking for.
Mm.
And if they want that cross section, then let them do the running all around. I mean, I get that either has to be equally fair or equally unfair. Equally unfair is probably the easiest way to go.
Sure.
But I think that part is just, I've been looking at where some of the sessions are. I haven't even attempted to try and get into one of the sessions yet. But I see, you know, there's a lot of running around. You get one of those Fitbits or whatever, you're definitely going to knock out your steps by
doing miles and miles a day. I've made the fatal mistake of coming from the expo floor here to go for one of our interviews, actually, that we did with Taylor Brown, who we interviewed over in the West Concourse. And I left a little late and had to leg it real quick over there. And it's quite a way.
It is.
So you don't want to be going back and forth all day.
And it's not so much the distance, it's more the congestion. That's a bit of the pain.
You never know what you're going to hit, right? Yeah. Rush hour and everything's, 25,000 people going in the opposite direction from you, and it's all over.
Exactly. So, hey, some of the stuff that we've done so far this show, so people have heard, just to let you know, we've sat down, we've interviewed a few people, we've actually published two interviews so far. First episode that we did was with Yina Arenas. That was an awesome.
I'm just going to go out there and call her the queen of the graph.
Oh, she,
because
she's awesome.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's fun. She's engaging to talk to. The graph is a huge thing inside of Microsoft now, not just inside of Office. We had a great discussion with her yesterday morning right after the keynote. That was one, I think, that we were all three of us trying to race to get to one location.
Yeah.
And we were all stuck in, like, people traffic trying to get there. So she texted me. She's like, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm like, I can see you. I'm, like, two floors above you. I can see the glass. But
I'll be there in half an hour.
Yeah, I'll be there in just a minute. Look up. I'm right here.
She was great. She runs the part of the graph team at Microsoft, kind of wrangling all of the sub-teams that build into the graph, right? So, you know, you've got the Exchange folks that do the mail and calendar stuff. You've got the OneDrive folks that do the drive pieces of Graph. You've got the SharePoint team now that are doing APIs and graph around lists and so forth that is new this week. You've got the AD team contributing to do users and groups and all that sort of stuff. She really brings it all together and has been on the team for a couple of years working on the graph, even more in fact, and is doing a really, really great job of it. So it's a fascinating interview. We talk about all the new stuff coming this week and a little bit about where it's going.
Yep, exactly, yeah. And then we sat down, like you said, we rushed over. We did one of our Ignite shorts, a quick like 20-minute episode with Taylor Brown, where we talked a lot about Windows containers, a lot about, he now owns a lot of the Linux story as well.
For the Windows subsystem for Linux.
Yep, and the developer story around containers and Windows and stuff. So that was that was a fun discussion.
He featured in my my list of of best episodes and worst episodes. So when we interviewed Taylor, and I mean it was really my screw up. I started the recording and started interviewing Taylor, and he just nailed it. Man, he was on point. He got it all out. He's a fantastic person to talk to. And I sort of halfway through the interview, I had to say, could we start that again?
We're not recording right now.
because I had a bit of a flub, and he was completely cool about it and just went straight back into it, started again, and crushed it.
Yeah, I think he had probably talked about that numerous times too, because it really came off really smooth. But
he was awesome. So he's at the show running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah.
Windows containers and Linux containers on Windows now, and the Windows subsystem for Linux and all the tooling they're doing is really starting to take off. So he's a busy lad.
He absolutely is. Yeah, and then this will be episode 215, so we'll lift the MP3 from the live show and publish that one as well later today. Also later today, we had a great conversation yesterday with Vesa Juvonen from, I think I got that right. Never good at with his last name. But we sat down, we talked about the Office Dev P&P, what you'll find in there, what's new, some cool new stuff that we'll get to in just a minute.
Yep.
That'll come out later this afternoon. We sat down and talked to Donna Malieri yesterday afternoon. She's the PM for Azure Functions. Had a great discussion, high energy, a lot of fun with her. And then the other shows that we got planned for the rest of the week, of course, some of these may fall through, but they're all on the calendar, so we'll see if somebody bails on us. We'll talk to Matt Bremer about the business of Office 365 and Azure as he is in the field selling it for Microsoft and the St. Louis area. We're actually sitting down later today with Donovan Brown, who is the Mr. DevOps.
That's right.
So we'll sit down and talk to him today. Agnes Molnar, the queen of search.
Yes.
So we're sitting down with her. She had a big product launch yesterday, too, for a new search course that she had. Dan Rasanova.
Yep.
He owns Event Grid. So that's a new product from Azure, new service from Azure that came out a couple weeks ago. I'm going to talk to him. Vesa Juvonen and Dan Kogan later this week about the SharePoint framework. Travis
Wright. Something you know a little bit about.
I hope so. I'd like to at least sell it like I do.
That's right.
Travis Wright from Azure also talking about a lot of the database stuff. We'll talk about that in just a minute.
Then we have possibly the most personable guy on the planet.
A bit of a challenge to do the interview sometimes, but I absolutely love getting him on the show. Can you say his name better? Can you say his last name?
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to try it. Vittorio Bertucci.
There you go.
Active Directory.
Nailed it.
I've been practicing my Italian all morning. He's absolutely awesome. We wish we could get him on the live show too, with his big glowing locks and everything.
Yeah, man, so he has the hair of, what's the guy that swings on the vines? Tarzan.
Tarzan, yeah.
Reminds me of his hair.
And then last person we'll talk to as well is, unless we have anybody that we add, is Omar Shahini.
Yep.
Is that right?
Shahane. Yep.
Which he has taken over a lot of the engineering side on the product program management for the Office SharePoint and OneDrive team, mostly the SharePoint side as well, I think. So he took that over from Jeff Teeper, taking on some of his responsibilities. But that's the plan, which you'll expect from us this week. Let's now transition, talk about some of the latest news that we had this week, because
there's a lot.
Oh my God, we sat down this morning, like when we had our list on Sunday night, we knew of stuff that was coming, it was okay. Yep. And then I added some more a little bit yesterday, I added some more on Sunday. I sat through a bunch of NDA briefings, sat through some more yesterday, and then this morning I woke up, put some stuff down, and then you and I got like, we need to get out for breakfast and start whittling this down for today.
So we can do like 10% of our list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got quite a big doc here that we got to go through. But one of them, I guess this is big. This one's big, and we'll talk more about it in a later episode. But SQL Server 2017 goes GA.
Yes. Yeah. This is huge, and obviously, SQL in the past has been big releases, right? They've been anticipated. It's always been a pain as a conference organizer announcing a SQL Server release on stage because suddenly your Wi-Fi just gets destroyed with everybody trying to download it.
Yep.
That in Visual Studio.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, very highly anticipated and also been very successful for them by the sounds of it from who we've spoken to about this.
Yeah.
But it's the first time it's coming out with like Linux support and Docker support and all this sort of stuff. So
yeah.
A huge release for them.
Yeah, here's some perspective. Here's how big that the Linux and Docker kind of release is. When they normally do trials, download trials and stuff, they said they're usually in like 200 to 300,000 downloads. For this one though, the Docker image had been downloaded over 2 million times during the trial. So that shows kind of what interest level there is there for this.
Yeah, it is really interesting because it's a real epitome of people outside of the Microsoft ecosystem starting to look at Microsoft stuff.
Yep.
And so a lot of those folks downloading the Docker image are like, wow, obviously they've got some respect for SQL, or they wouldn't go look at it, but they're like, cool, I can actually go, it plays in my sandbox now, so to speak. So yeah, that's really cool for them.
Yep.
Big move.
Another one that we've seen now is a big...
The worst kept secret in tech news for the last couple of weeks.
Skype to Teams transition, right?
Yes.
I sat in a meeting on Sunday about this, and the guy's like, so how many of you in the room don't know about this? And like nobody raised their hand. He goes, oh, okay, yeah, we did a bunch of like pre-briefings last week for some people, and yeah, you all heard it. And I'm like, no, you kind of leaked it like 2 weeks ago, and you just never confirmed it. We all knew that this was coming. It was the worst kept secret.
I mean, it was one of those ones. It wasn't even rumor and speculation. Like, there were posts in the message center in Office 365 telling us that it was coming.
Everybody released it but marketing.
That's right. Yeah, everybody released it but Microsoft marketing, yeah. So yeah, it shouldn't be any news to people by now, but Skype for Business is going away as a brand, and it's being merged with Microsoft Teams.
Yep.
And I've got to say, I'm a little conflicted about this. On the one hand, I can completely see why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to me to have two clients on a desktop, things like that.
Is that like two OneDrive clients?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay,
we've got some more news around that. More OneDrive's coming. Anyway. Yep. So, yeah, it makes no sense to have two clients on the desktop, right? But from a IT perspective, it's a little freaky because you're going to say, do I have to roll out Teams now just to get the PSTN and calling video type functionality?
Yes.
Maybe I use Yammer, and how confusing is that going to be? Or do I have to turn stuff on and off and all that sort of stuff? So I think it's going to freak a few people out. But I think from a Microsoft perspective, longer term, it's going to be a little painful up front, but it makes sense longer term.
Yeah, I think so too.
The first thing we'll see is the brands come together.
Yep.
You know, Skype for Business client will probably get rebranded, or there'll be a new version of Teams which has the dialing stuff in it, things like that.
I was kind of pumped about it because, I mean, you know, the external sharing wasn't really, I mean, I know we have external sharing now, but it's really like not my tenant sharing. You still have to be in Office 365.
Sure.
So I kind of looked at it and I was like going, sweet, so now all my calls have to go through Teams? That means I don't have to do any more calls anymore because I'm all external. Like, this is awesome.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
Sorry.
No, so yeah, I think, and so it's, if you're a Mac user for the last, what feels like a decade, but it's really been since 2011, you've kind of been stuck with this really like poor quality Skype client.
Yep.
Until fairly recently, the Skype team's been busy off building Teams, and they've sort of let the house rot a little bit over here.
Mm-hmm.
So now bringing them together and doing less, but giving us more in the long run, I think is the right idea.
I think it is too. Another thing too, now the timing of the show has actually worked out really well because we had some, a session just ended, so the embargo on all the stuff, you know, as we were coming into the show, we're seeing all this SharePoint news starting to hit. And then right now as we're recording this, I know a lot of OneDrive news is hitting because their embargo lifts in a little bit by the end of this session. But SharePoint has had remember when SharePoint was dead? Remember that a few years ago?
I mean, I heard the rumors.
Yeah. This is the stuff that they're doing right now. This is absolutely epic. So the first one, which is kind of seems like it's, well, it is, it doesn't seem like it, it's way long overdue, is this notion of a hub site, right? So a hub site allows you to now have like a divisional site where you can have one SharePoint site and then have other sites be child to that. So I can have like one site collection that acts as like the main site collection for everything, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what SharePoint's been really good at and used for intranets for, you know, however long, 15 years now, I suppose.
Yep.
It's, you know, people build intranet sites, which are basically like a hub to find everything else, right?
Yep.
So it makes complete sense.
Yeah, and they've added global navigation so that navigation that I put inside that hub goes through all of them too, so that's...
I can't believe we're still talking about global nav in, 2017 or whatever.
Well, we're talking about it because they finally did it.
Yeah, it's Yeah, hopefully it's right. Let's see.
Let them roll that one out.
Exactly.
Another big bit of news that we are seeing today is SharePoint Server 2019 has been confirmed for on-prem.
Yes.
So we're going to see in the preview of sometime mid-2018, we're going to see a preview, and this is going to include not just SharePoint Server, but Office, Exchange, and Skype for Business, which I was like, wait a minute. I thought we just talked about Skype for Business going away, but we
So now we're going to have Teams on-prem, or how's, like, I don't know what's going to happen with that.
I'm a dev.
Yeah.
Not my problem.
Not my problem. Well, yeah, eventually it will be.
Yeah, the IT,
I guess we'll see, but yeah, that'll be really interesting to see. I think this is confidence building, right? I think Microsoft, you know, has this tendency to focus on shiny things when they get it, front of mind, and so they'll just talk about that, and that was like SharePoint Conference 2012 or whatever it was, when everybody was like, oh, they're giving up on-prem and the sky's falling and everything. And then it took a while for Jeff Tiber to come out and say, no, we we still want your money. So we'll do another on-prem release.
Yep.
And so I think this is just a continuation of that confidence building. And it's no real surprise.
No.
I think what they call it might be a surprise. I sort of expected it to just be a bunch of service packs and feature packs, which
maybe that really all it is.
Kind of really all it is.
Yeah.
But they're going to call it SharePoint Server 2019. It's no surprise people aren't all moving to the cloud just yet.
Yep.
They're going to be there for a while, so you've got to keep them secure and safe and give them a few new features every now and again and keep things rolling.
Yeah, so that'll be, like I said, that's going to be a preview out in mid-2018. The release will be late 2019 for the whole stack, all those suites, SharePoint, Office, Exchange, Skype for Business.
Yep.
Another big thing that came out of the Office of SharePoint group that we talked about a lot more with Vesta, so we won't spend too much time here, is the PMP has shipped a bunch of reusable controls, and the skinny on this one is that they're not going to make their first-party web parts open source and give those away, but they're going to take components that they use within those and make those available inside of a reusable component library. So you'll be able to use those in, like, say, an NPM package and stuff. So that'll include things like a date time picker, a managed metadata term picker, a people picker, and a list picker. Those will all be for the profile pane. Hmm. And then they'll also have some React controls for, like, placeholders, site breadcrumbs, file icons, and list views. List views, I think, is interesting. I want to check out what that's all about.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
That's out there now. That repo was published yesterday, I believe. But I talked to Vesta a little bit about that and what the motivation was behind that and where we can expect to see them go with that.
Yeah, having reusable controls is great. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yep.
And your pages are not going to look like somebody took a bunch of paintball and shot them at the wall. and hopefully different web parts will look kind of similar or have the same ways of interacting with them.
Yeah.
For some common controls, so that's really nice.
Just like to see them get the story with, like, the Office UI Fabric and the React controls, a better reusable story, because now we got to really bunch all that stuff inside of the bundle that we ship.
Yeah,
it's not a really good story.
Yep.
All right, so let's transition to another cloud.
Azure.
You know what the biggest news out of Azure is?
Oh yeah.
What is it?
Has everybody noticed they've got a new logo? This is huge.
It's epic.
You know, because every time I built a slide deck and had a slide and I wanted to put Azure on there, I'm like, what logo do I use for Azure? and it turns out they didn't have an official logo. They had, like, the words, you know, Microsoft Azure. It used to be Windows Azure. And it was always a pain because you just want an icon, right? And so as a presenter, you're like, well, what do? I'm going to stick a little blue cloud there. Okay, fine. So now we've got a logo. But you know what? I think the funniest thing is, if you haven't seen this, it kind of looks like they took the Office logo, turned it blue, and then ran over it with a steamroller. Have you seen that? it looks like it's sort of fallen on its side. I actually really like it. Don't get me wrong. But it's kind of got that little jutty part that the Office logo has, and then they just like that.
I thought that when you told me that this morning that I would have gotten all my laughs out of it, but not yet. We got another one coming up that this might be, we might
lose it.
End the show in just a second.
But yeah, really nice. They've got a fresh sort of feel to the brand and something I can put on my slides.
Yeah, the cloud logo is nice and sharp and edgy, just like the clouds.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not sure.
Pointy.
Hey, another thing that the Azure guys did announce, though, is a concept of availability zone. So this idea here is that there are certain regions where they have multiple data centers, two data centers like closely aligned together, or geographically they're very close together in the same region.
Yeah.
And this will allow you to stand up your, don't think VMs. This is a service-wide kind of a thing. But it's a availability zone where they both have, you now have, like, redundant power, redundant networking, and redundant, there was a third one. cooling, redundant cooling on all of these, so that now if like one data center has a problem, you're already like rolled over into the other one. You're already going there. So you have an idea instead of being like being redundant across regions for like specific things, like maybe a VM or for like their availability sets that they have, or for storage or something like that.
Yep.
This way we can have like, no, I've got all my stuff is going to be reliable across the entire.
That's really nice. You know, you see these big outages from whatever cloud vendor, right? Like, or it could be somebody who's built on a cloud vendor, like Netflix, for example. They had a data center outage, famous one years ago. And because one of the AWS data centers got hit by lightning or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, hold on, but you're in the cloud and shouldn't you be redundant? And I think they had a bunch of redundancy within the data center.
Yeah.
But not necessarily hot swap type stuff over to another data center. I think they've learned a little bit since then.
Yeah.
But also it's nice to see the cloud vendors, and especially in Azure, helping with some tooling around this.
Well, helping with some tooling and also, you know, kind of putting some onus on us as the people that are using it and saying, look, you have to architect your stuff the right way.
Yeah.
You have to take advantage of stuff that we have. We can't just automatically just say flip a switch and say, we give this availability to everybody.
It's not complete magic.
No, it's not complete
magic. It's somebody else's server. Right.
That's
at
when we get to the quantum computing stuff and the cool coffee machine.
Exactly.
Hey, another thing that we have is we talk a little bit here about the Azure Reserved Instances, right? So this is coming out of the AWS stuff, where we have a 1 to 3 year commitment that can save up to 72%. But unlike the other ones, you can cancel at any time. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I need to learn more about this. I don't completely understand the model. Because why wouldn't you just buy this and then cancel it? There's got to be some sort of caveat to that, right? Otherwise, you'd save 75% on all your stuff and then cancel it anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Right? I don't know. We'll see. Hey, one more we talk about before we start jumping into the questions. And this one, we're going to be a little catty on this one, right?
Yeah. So we don't really mean this in all serious. Well, okay, maybe.
There we go. So Azure released a new service called Azure File Sync. And the idea between this is that, let's say, Hyperfish was in where I live in Jacksonville, Florida. It's also in Seattle.
Yep.
So we could have a way to go share files between each other. So basically, we have an Azure OneDrive. Have another OneDrive.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's a corporate OneDrive, right?
Well, hold on a second, because so now what are you trying to tell me? You're trying to say so I got some folders on my server in my office.
Yep.
And then I've got this sort of magical cloud OneDrive thing that like syncs it to another location.
Yes.
But now I've got to choose between my OneDrive for business, my OneDrive consumer, and my OneDrive for Azure.
No, yeah. Or you can put them, you can stack them together and have everything like replicated in like 60 different places.
Yeah. Well, I think if you've listened to the show for any sort of period of time, you know that I put my OneDrive in my Dropbox.
Yeah, I know.
So I think now I'm going to put my OneDrive in my Dropbox in my Azure OneDrive.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It can replicate.
Then I'm solid, right? I've got three levels of redundancy. I'm going to be all good.
Well, if you switch over to Google Drive too, and they got a nice little sync client, right? And you can really stack that up, right?
It's like Inception for file sync.
Box is going to jump in on this whole thing in a minute too. We're going to have a lot of fun.
We're going to get that. So I guess, this makes sense in some regards from, you know, OneDrive for business is you've got your own, you know, set of files, right? Each person has their own set of files. And OneDrive Consumer, you have your own set of files. I'm imagining, and I haven't dug into this a whole lot, but the Azure File Sync system is all about, you know, taking your shares and common stuff that you use as a company as opposed to just an individual and moving it around within your organization.
Yeah.
With less complexity than doing, like, NFS, is that the right word?
Yeah.
NFS shares and all that sort of stuff. So, I guess we'll have to take a look at that a little more, but and see what we get into.
Yeah.
Hey.
We got a lot more news, but I think we got about 8 minutes left or so. So I want to make sure we get into some questions here, right? Does that sound good?
Exactly. Should we kick things off? Have you got anything on Twitter that you want to bring up immediately?
I do.
Should we get a couple here?
Yeah, we got Chris Kent, who's in the audience right now, is asking us if our logo is a cloud radio, a cloud car with a missing headlight, or something else entirely. I kind of like that, and because your sister is the one that gave us the logo, I'll let you answer that one.
Yeah, I guess it's really whatever you want it to be, right? It's
hey,
no, the idea
Jeff Tieper,
is
nice to meet you.
No, the idea was, you know, we hadn't touched our brand or our logo and our colors and all that sort of stuff for years, and we're going on 4 years. I mean,
we wanted to be green.
Exactly. Green is the new cool, right?
I've seen it on Twitter, and I'm looking at the screen over here, what we can see. This is a lot of green.
Yeah.
This wasn't exactly thought out. We didn't think this one all the way through.
So yeah, it is kind of a transistor to get across the whole sort of radio concept and the whole sort of podcasty kind of thing, but it's shaped like a cloud because we're kind of a radio in the cloud kind of thing. And green is everybody else's podcast is blue.
Yep.
Like if you go into iTunes and you go look for dev or cloud pod shows, they're all run by dudes, and they've all picked blue.
Mm.
So we were like, well, we can't be another blue podcast. So my sister was like, we were blue.
We were blue.
And she was like, green. I was like, why green? And she was like, because it's not blue. Yeah.
Simple. That's like when I asked, like, when can I release my fish, my baby fish that I'm growing out? When can I release it back to the tank? And they said, when it doesn't fit in the rest of the fish's mouth. I'm like, oh, so the obvious one. I got it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We also had one submitted before the show from Gavin Barron. It's been a big year for containerization. From my perspective, it seems like Kubernetes has gained the largest market share, if not market share, of orchestration tools. What are you currently using for orchestration and container management on your projects? And if you were to start your project today, what would you use in this role and why?
So me, I'm not using it for anything just yet, right? So I'm kind of more greenfield when I start into anything. But from my perspective, we heard it a little bit yesterday in the keynote too. To me, Kubernetes is kind of won,
Absolutely.
Or they're winning. They are.
Yep.
Everybody's diving into it. Everyone's going nuts about it. And same thing with, like, you know, we've got, you see the tools that Microsoft is investing in. You see that, you know, Brendan Burns came over from Google over to Microsoft. He's one of the founding guys of Kubernetes. To me, it's, if I'm starting from scratch, I'm going with Kubernetes.
Yeah, it is definitely interesting from the Azure perspective. They're putting a lot into Kubernetes. You'll see what's been done with the Azure Container Instances. I think there's more to come in that space, especially when you're hiring people like that.
Yeah.
It kind of sends some signals. So at Hyperfish, we use Docker Cloud, mm-hmm. Which is kind of like Docker Swarm, but our needs are relatively straightforward. If I was to start again today, I'd be doing it on Kubernetes for sure.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I got another question here. This one's really good from Matt Jimison. I think I said that right. I hope I did. So there we go. So what's something missing from the Ignite conference that you really hope to see?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question.
This puts it on the spot. But I have like a wish list of Azure stuff in the back of my head that I'll tell you, I've got two. One, I want to see true CAS.
Yep.
I want to see.
Oh man!
I want to see. I can still with Azure Container Instances. I have a way to go through and to have somebody else one massive node where all my containers can run, and I don't have to worry about the virtual machine. But I still have to maintain the head. I still have to maintain a VM that's got Kubernetes master and runs as a master that can manage all the pods that are going to be inside of that.
Yep.
What I want is even out of that business. I want to pay a subscription for somebody else to manage my Kubernetes instance. And I want them to be, you know, I don't care. Just like I don't care about the physical servers and how many it takes to run the VMs, I don't care about the virtual machines either. Mm-hmm. I only care about the CPU, compute, memory, and disk. That's it.
Feeding and watering. And
yeah, so that's one for me. The other one that I would say is that I wish that there were more services or emulators from Azure that run in containers that I could do more local dev with stuff. For example, the queues, the storage queues or storage or anything, I'd like to have the true APIs, I can spin it out and run local. I would never want, it's not me trying to host it. I'm not talking about Azure Stack, but I think from a local developer experience, that's something that I would really like to see to when I roll my stuff up and think, I know things are gonna work clean.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll go the non-tech route and say, I would love to have seen somebody up on stage like Bill Gates or Elon Musk talking about some sort of completely non-Microsoft related initiative they've got going, maybe going to Mars, for example, given a sort of space nut kind of theme.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bill Gates is amazing to hear talk about his work in philanthropy and is really inspirational. And I would have loved to have seen somebody like that at some point during the week talking about something that just gets you out of your day job and just sort of very inspiring about something that's, that you don't normally get to see at a conference like this.
Yep, yep. All right, I think we got time for maybe one more question.
All right.
Can I do this?
We got a submitted question from Mark Roden in the front audience here. He's already rocking the Cloud Show t-shirt, more
and
green.
And the Xbox.
And the
He's
Xbox.
He's one of our Xbox
winners,
too.
One of our winners from episode 200. Do you take the over or under on the cloud computing service world being rocked by a major fundamental hack in the next 3 years? I'm paraphrasing his whole question, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
Yeah?
I'll take the end. I mean, I would expect it's got to happen. I mean, there's going to be something that happens. if it, and I think that the reason why I say it's going to happen is because I would expect betting that it's not going to happen. I think is a really long bet. That's a big odds that you're really trying to take on that one. But I also think that it will, when it happens, it will be absolutely epic. I mean, you see what news came out this morning too. Like Deloitte recognized that they got hacked, but admin accounts, user accounts, and
all email
in, at some point in 2016.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. 200,000 employees with a company that does like auditing. They audit Microsoft, or they audit Microsoft's books.
Yep,
that's
there was the big SAML issue with Office 365 last year that let anybody log into anybody's inbox if you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, thankfully that got patched early on. But I just think there's too many little things, and they've done so much work to protect. Both Microsoft has done it with their cloud. I assume GCP and AWS have done it with theirs. So when we see something like this happen, it's going to be epic.
I think it is absolutely inevitable. And we're starting to see Azure doing a lot of things around, announced in the last couple of weeks, around encrypting your data in transit while it's in Azure. Azure can't see what's in it. You've got these secure enclaves for doing bits of work on that data and things. And so that's all, I think, accruing to... they realize they're going to get hacked at some point, but when they do, making sure that they're not compromising customer data in the process.
Yep.
Also, we spoke to some folks on the Azure AD team recently. They've had a whole bunch of months, big push over the last few months, of not building a whole lot of new features, but spending time on just hardening and checking everything that they've got to do a real good security push. So they're spending a lot of time on this.
Yep.
I think with what's been going on with Equifax people recently and that saga, I think it's put a very public re-emphasis on this problem, and it's just a matter of time.
Yep. So, hey, let's wrap this up. You got a person you want to pick to take with us on Thursday morning of the ones we just talked about? I've got one or two if you don't have them.
Oh, sure. Go for it.
All right. I think I like the question about the, although it wasn't exactly it wasn't exactly cloudy, but it was about the show.
Sure.
We're going to go with Chris Kent and the question about the logo there. And I loved Matt Jemison's question too about what's missing.
Yeah, that's a good question actually. I really like that.
So if you two would come up to us after the show, after we pack up, let's make sure we get out of the way from the other person. We'll just make sure we arrange it. We'll be good. And everybody else, hey, tune in to the show later. But
yeah, and thanks again for coming to the live show. Have a great rest of Ignite, and we'll see you around the show floor.
That's
Cheers.
A wrap.